Today on Pilgrim Radio's His People, Jim Daly, on the new documentary film called Truth Rising.
Truth seems to be rising right now in the culture. People that don't even claim to be Christian are saying things like, you know, children are important. Families should have children. And we say, amen. And so we wanted to give that some fuel to say even the non-believers are recognizing something's askew, something's not working, and provide fuel for that discussion and that debate.
Jim Daly, next. Focus on the Family, in cooperation with the Colson Center, have just released the new documentary, Truth Rising. The film features hosts Oz Guinness, a social critic and author, John Stonestreet of the Colson Center, and interviews with prominent voices. Here's Spencer Dahlke to get the details from Jim Daly, President and CEO of Focus on the Family.
First question, I guess I'll just put to you, is what prompted the production of this documentary?
You know, it probably started 2 years ago in my thoughts. I was just looking at what was happening in the culture. It seemed that even non-Christians were saying something's wrong with culture, like Elon Musk or Jordan Peterson at that time, or even Bill Maher, you know, the HBO comedian commentator on the left, and he started to make fun of wokeism and things like that. It just caught my attention that something's changing. There's a difference occurring. There's something going on. So we thought, let's explore doing a film following up on the Truth Project that was 20 years ago. I think 5 million people watched and participated in the Truth Project. And so we thought this would be a good thing to do. And Truth Rising was born out of those kind of early thoughts. And then we worked with Coldwater Media to bring it into some shape and form. And they did a brilliant job. The film, the cinematography in this film is unbelievable, along with all the spokespeople that do a brilliant job talking about Western civilization.
Since you said this is kind of like coming from the Truth Project, would you give us a little bit of background then about what that was all about?
Well, Truth Project, again, that was 20 years ago. We just felt the culture was kind of slipping when it came to the understanding of what is truth. And it was, again, very successful. Dr. Del Tackett was the host in that one. And it was a 13-part series. It was for home study, church study, etc. This really builds on that in a number of ways. But again, this is a 90-minute documentary lifting up the fact that truth seems to be rising right now in the culture. People that don't even claim to be Christian are saying things like, you know, children are important. Families should have children. And we say, amen. You know, other things like gender. Jordan Peterson saying, you know, there's two genders. It's male and female, and God gives them both very distinctive attributes to bring into marriage and to bring into the raising of a family. And again, we say right on. And so we wanted to give that some fuel to say even the non-believers are recognizing something's askew, something's not working, and provide fuel for that discussion and that debate. And I think Truth Rising is the answer to most of those questions.
You had a promotional interview with John Stonestreet that I saw on the website in which he described our culture as a civilizational moment. I'm curious if you could define that for us.
Yeah, he's bouncing off of the other co-host in the film, Oz Guinness. Oz is the older, sage, wise commentator on culture. Went to Oxford. He's Irish, British educated. And he and John Stonestreet talk about this civilizational moment. And Oz's point in doing that is that either a civilization dies, it renews itself to its original core of what made it good, or it changes into something else. And I think, you know, on the political plane, one of the interesting things that people have been talking about is we need to remake America in a different way. And so we're just saying, you know, there's so many good things that the founding fathers put into the Constitution, the freedoms. And in the film, you'll hear a number of people from Europe, from Australia, talk about this concept of Western civilization. What it was built upon was a concept right out of the Bible that we're created in God's image, that every human being deserves dignity. And early Christianity lifted up women, lifted up children, brought order and dignity to the human race. We need to get back to that understanding of what that means when it comes to the issue of abortion, euthanasia, discarding of children, etc., the importance of marriage and what it does for a culture, the stability that it brings. And so those are the concepts that experts in this film, Truth Rising, talk about and explain. And, you know, truthrising.com is where people can stream it in that venue, and you can watch it on X and other places. It's all free. That's the goal. And then we have a four-part study that comes along with it.
Over how many years do you think we can define the moment? Like, if it's this period where we've come to a crossroads and it's time to decide, like, okay, what are we doing with our country? Are we going back to our founding, or we're going back making something new, like you mentioned? It seems like that sort of thing's been happening for quite a long time.
Yeah, I think it was a slow roll at first, if I could describe it that way. I think the 60s institutions began to lose authority and respect. And I think now you look at government, you look at Congress, you look at any government bureaucracy with three letters, FBI, CIA, whatever it might be. It just seems the culture has lost respect for these institutions, which is unfortunate. Church attendance is down, and spokespeople in the film, both Christian and non-Christian, make arguments for why this is happening. I think it's Neil Ferguson, who's an academic, says in the film, you can't blame all of this on smartphones and social media. There's more going on in the culture than just that. They can be accelerators of it, but it's something wrong in the human heart. It's sin, and we've got to address it in all of us, and what it means to be Christian, what does it mean to bring God shalom, his peace, to culture, solutions, answers. You know, you look at the early church, Spencer, Christians are known for creating hospitals, hospices, orphanages. This was all, you know, things of the early church that they decided to engage humanity with in order to bring God's peace to these people that are suffering. Obviously, you know, making a commitment to Christ is core to focus on the family. We think we can save your marriage, maybe, but if we don't introduce you to the author of marriage, we kind of miss the point. So it's a moment to be bold in faith, gracious in truth, and to tell the culture there is a better way. And that's the point of Truth Rising.
What do you think are the great threats facing our country and Western civilization today?
Yeah, I think sexual ideology is big, LGBTQ, particularly right now, transgenderism. I mean, it's one of the hot buttons. And, you know, I think people are seeing kind of a fracturing even within that alphabet. You know, the gay and lesbians aren't as warm to the transgender community because they're upsetting the apple cart. You know, I was part of a dinner in Washington, D.C., five Christian leaders, five LGBTQ leaders. And Tim Keller happened to be at that meeting, and he said something really profound, the late Tim Keller. They said, let's give permission to give advice to each other. And Tim Keller said, you know what? Here's the advice I would have for you, the LGBTQ community. Don't go out of your way to poke your finger in the other guy's eye. New York works as a multicultural city because Muslims don't expect services from Christians or Jews, and Jews don't expect services that Muslims can't deliver. We get along because we know each other's religious limitations, and we're not going to press you to prove a point. He said, we need to get to that place. You're at the table. It's a pluralistic culture. We recognize that you're there. But you can't go out of your way to go after Jack Phillips, the baker in Denver, now the baker in California, and try to impinge upon their religious freedom. And I think that's really the back half, the second half of Truth Rising. It's these amazing stories of courage, ordinary Christians that woke up one day saying their prayers, talking to their spouse, going to work, and then boom, they're into a national controversy like Jack Phillips, the baker. He didn't expect to go to the Supreme Court to defend his ability to do his art, producing wedding cakes, etc. And he would serve anybody. If you wanted a birthday cake or cookies or whatever you wanted, gay, straight, didn't matter. He would serve everybody. But when that gay couple came in and said, we basically demand that you make a wedding cake. Some people might go, what's the big deal? It's just a wedding cake. But he had committed to the Lord that he wouldn't use his talents for something that wasn't biblical. That meant anything expressing evil, along with this idea of marriage being defined as a man and a woman. That's what they took him to court for. And he just gently and beautifully expressed truth and the love of God. And we're talking about how does everyone stiffen their spine for that kind of outcome.
It seems like a lot of what we're struggling with today, the soul of America, if you want to put it that way, really comes down to our human flourishing. Like, what does it mean to be human? And it seems like the documentary tackles that from a lot of different perspectives. I'm curious, are there any parts of the film that you found most compelling?
You know, the first half of the film is Oz Guinness, the great academic, talking about the building of Western civilization, what it took to build the Western civilization. In fact, David Berlinski, a former head of math there at Stanford, I believe he was, he's an agnostic, and, you know, he's not a person of faith. But he is very much on the side of what we're talking about. He has some great quips in the film about building a democracy and what it takes and how easy it could be taken down by people that don't understand what they're doing. Its breadth is wide. So you get a 400-level college class in Western civilization in the first half of the movie. Then the second half is the application, probably about 8 to 10 examples of people that had to stand their ground and not give up. Probably the most profound for me is Winston Marshall. He's British. He was in a rock band there, Mumford, because he was reading what was happening in America with BLM. And he said, BLM, that's a farce. I mean, that organization is not standing for anything. Now, you could quibble over that comment, but the band took a lot of heat for that, to the point where the band then asked him to step out, take a leave of absence, contemplate the errors of his way. He wrote an apology, and then when he gave the apology, he thought, you know what, this is not my heart. I'm standing behind what I said. I don't believe BLM and those kind of activist groups are doing any good, to your point, to the flourishing of humanity. He said, you know what, I'm going to resign. I don't need it. I'm going to stand for truth. And the powerful point with everything going on in Britain related to religious freedoms, etc., he just said, we need people of courage now, not people who are willing to just look the other way and live the lie. And that was powerful. I think that's a great message for us as Christians.
Examining the church over the past 100 years since the Scopes trial, when I guess Christians were expected not to be a part of culture. How do you think the church has done, and where have we come since then?
You know, we went to the mat. I think the culture war was part of that. People like Dr. Dobson, who just passed away recently, but also, of course, our founder, and he laid such a great foundation in here, but D.J. Kennedy and Jerry Falwell and others who fought that fight. You know, I went and I looked at that. Most of those men were born in the 1930s. To your point, they lost a lot in terms of cultural faith. You know, the Bible was taken out of school. Kids couldn't read the Bible. They couldn't pray in school. All the separation issues, which frankly isn't in the Constitution. I think it's a misread. But in that context, we have created a void, especially in school children, about virtue and honor and morals. And the framers of the Constitution even said this republic is only good for those who have morality and religion. And it'll be not good for any other. And I think we're beginning to feel that when we don't have truth, we don't have laws that work to the common good, but work to special interest groups only. That's an indication that the wheels on the bus are coming off. And I think that's, again, why we wanted to do the film and talk to these academics, these experts, and the people that are living it to get their opinion. You know, one of the powerful testimonies in there is Chloe Cole, who's a detransitioner out of California. And I think she's only 19 or 20 right now. She started her gender transition at age 12. Parents were told that you'll have a dead daughter or a live trans son. You pick. So they begrudgingly signed the medical releases to do it. And then she had a double mastectomy, hormone treatments. She did all that at 15. She gets to about 16 and a half and has her epiphany. And she realizes, after seeing a woman breastfeeding, that, wow, I'm never going to be able to do that. What have I done to my body? And the research supports that. 90% of sexually confused preteens and teens will self-correct by 19 years old. Just leave them alone. But now we're trapping them and mutilating them in their bodies for an ideological goal. And shame on us as a culture, all of us, Christian, non-Christian, adults that are in this culture, for not protecting those kids.
What would you want viewers to take away from this documentary?
That each one of us has responsibility. The four-part series talks about truth and hope and identity, which hits that sexual issue hard, and then calling. What is our calling? You know, not everybody's going to run Focus on the Family. I get that. Not everybody will have a national platform. But in your community, you can do so much on the school board. Just doing. Get involved. Get engaged. Don't do it with temper, with anger. Do it with deference, with control, which is what Paul calls us to in the Christian faith. Do it with grace, our words being seasoned with salt. All those things are true, but we've got to stop looking the other way and being uncomfortable talking about what we believe the scripture describes as truth in human sexuality, human flourishing. I think the Lord is creating a moment for his people, much like the first, second, third century church in Rome, to step up. In the third, fourth century of Rome, it became a Christian empire. It's not about power, it's about flourishing. And that became the seeds of Western civilization.
My guest today is Jim Daly. He's the president and CEO of Focus on the Family, releasing the documentary Truth Rising about what they call a civilizational moment in America. How can our listeners learn more about Western civilization and get back to the roots of what made the West great?
Yeah, I'm telling you, the first half of the film with Oz is like a college-level course in Western civilization, what they were after. He talks about the revolutions, the U.S. revolution against Britain, Britain's revolution as well, rooted in scripture, basically, both of those. And then you look at Mao and the Russian Revolution, along with the French Revolution, and the damage they did because they were counter to the Christian message, and they rooted it in humanism and exploitation. Nobody has killed more human beings than those three revolutions, and especially over the long haul, literally hundreds of millions of people. And so we need to wake up to that. I saw something the other day where somebody said, you know, here's the mistake. People keep saying, and it's happening in New York with this mayoral race, but also the rise of socialism and communism in the U.S. People will say, it just hasn't been perfected. We can do it better. I know it hasn't worked in other places, but we know how to make it work perfectly. And this person pointed out, you know what? That's the great thing about capitalism. It doesn't have to be perfect to bring good things to a culture, to lift people up, to create a middle class. And in that regard, if you're looking for socialism or communism to deliver perfect human behavior, it's not going to happen. And it's going to lead to mayhem and murder. And that's what we've seen every time. We don't want to go down that road. John Houston, in the film, he was the former deputy PM of Australia. And he said, the engines of democracy work fine. We're just putting alternative fuel into them, and the engines are choking. It's a brilliant metaphor.
Churches seem like a great place to start and be like, well, we have the gospel. We have the foundation to understand what is truth and how humans flourish. And yet at the same time, I mean, for better or worse, it seems like churches have been feminized more or less. Like, seems like big emphasis on grace, strength, maybe not quite so much. Do you think that's true? And how can our churches foster a spirit of strength in their grace?
Yeah, I think this film is a great way to start. And we're hoping that churches do small group. It'd be great for congregations to watch the 90-minute film as a community, because I think it will provide the rationale for being strong, for being bold, with all the grace that we're talking about. I think it's interesting you mentioned that. I have two sons, 25 and 23. I don't know how old you are, but you seem to be maybe in that Z category. Couple of great things. You guys are filled with the idea of, I want to know the truth. We are bombarded with lies. And that's what I hear from my own sons. You know, we just get so many lies from social media. What is true? And now we have AI telling us, you know, about this or that remedy. Or I think the Zers are really developing quite an appetite for what is true. And if we as Christians believe the scripture is true, that Jesus lived and he's the Messiah, that will rise. Truth will rise. And I'm excited for your generation, because I think it's a moment where you guys are seeking, and that authenticity drive, along with what is true, I think is going to develop and deliver quite a good journey for the Gen Zers. And I think this moment where the pendulum of culture seems to be swinging back to traditional things, you and your community are leading the way in that way. Take the bull by the horns here. You know, don't let the boomers point the way. You guys know it. And I think the film is going to embolden the Zers particularly to say, this is right. And that's the response I got from my boys when they watched it. They were like, Dad, this is awesome. And I think that's the work of the Holy Spirit. And there's so many good people in here. Chloe Cole, being a 19, 20-year-old right in your zone, experiencing the things that she's experienced, and Winston Marshall and other young people. Seth Dillon from Babylon Bee is in the film as well, talking about his interactions with Elon Musk when they were put in Twitter jail, as he says, and deplatformed. And then Elon called Seth and they go through the story and just said, maybe I should buy it. And then a couple of months later, he gets a note from Elon saying, do you want to be back on Twitter, now called X? And, you know, that conversation is what gave Elon Musk the idea to buy Twitter. So it's filled with great examples. There's also that four-part series, which we hope everybody can go through again with what is truth and identity and calling and hope. John Stone Street has pulled that together. It's brilliant. It's both video and curriculum, but very brief. It's 20 minutes for each part. I'm hoping churches and individual through home study, group study, church study, that everybody gets a good dose of the compass direction we need to go.
It seems like a lot of these people that you've mentioned, like Chloe Cole and like Jordan Peterson, it looks like in the documentary, Ms. Cole had expressed a statement of faith. I think Jordan Peterson has also kind of like played with faith too. It seems like this gravitating back towards truth might be an excellent time to share the hope of the gospel to young people.
Yeah.
How can the church kill two birds with one stone in that regards, if that makes sense?
Well, it seems to me that the Lord typically uses testimony to embolden others. It's like that great quote, I can't remember who gave it, but when one spine is stiffened, it stiffens the spine of others. It may have been Winston Churchill. That's the beauty of this. We're really talking about that. And when you hear Chloe Cole talk about the journey that she has had, and you're right, she is a committed Christian now. She's probably been a Christian for 1 year, but she speaks to that truth. In fact, in the film, she says, it's not your truth, my truth. Jesus is the truth. And she just delivers it with such power because how she has been mutilated.
How can churches find unity? I know at being part of the Protestant tradition, you know, that, you know, lots of denominations, since it seems like just such an opportune moment to be like, we are Christians. We believe the gospel. How can we find unity among the churches across the nation?
If I could give you the perfect answer, you know, I'd probably be on the magazine cover of everything out there in social media. Jim Daly has perfect answer to unity. It's a process. I think personally what I have seen is even a closing of the gap between Catholic and Protestant over the core things in the culture. Think about it. Life. Catholics were leading the way before Protestants caught up to that issue. They taught us what it meant to be pro-life. And they were right there from the get-go. I appreciate that. And I think on those issues, all of us that claim to be Christian can rally around these core things. The difficult one right now is what I would refer to as the weak-kneedness of those that are buying into LGBTQ doctrine. It's pretty clear in Scripture when Jesus himself in Matthew says, a man shall leave his family, his mother and father, and cleave to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. That's affirmation of what marriage is. He didn't say wives. He didn't say anything in, you know, the man may leave his mother and father and cleave to his boyfriend. That's not what's in there. And so we can infer from that, even by our own eyes and looking at ourselves anatomically, we've got to get back to this place where, you know, the DSM-4, the Diagnostic Manual for Psychiatry, just a few years ago, put transgendered sexual issues right next to eating disorders because it's a control mental disorder where you're trying to control your environment. What science came along to dislodge that scientific understanding of a psychological problem? None. They just did it because of the politics of it. And that's where we're at today. So we in the Christian community, in terms of building unity, we got to know the Word of God. I think this film, Truth Rising, helps us as Christians, Catholic, Protestant, to better know the Word of God and then to be able to, I wouldn't even use the word defend it, but to use it to arrest the thinking of the non-believer and to reinforce the thinking of the Christian community. That's how you get to a point of unity. And it's unfortunate the church itself is not unified when it comes to God's design of human sexuality. Be bold. Defend it. It's okay.
Is there anything else you'd like to throw out there that I haven't asked about maybe that would be interesting for our listeners, etc.?
Well, the connection there is, you know, go to truthrising.com to sign up, to be able to get the stream, to be able to get the four-part series. It's all free. We're not charging. We don't want that to be a limitation. So often, you know, we get the criticism that Christians are doing this for money. Okay, we're going to do it for nothing. It's about $2.5 million that we spent to do this project. I think the quality of the film is outstanding. The information it delivers is epic. And you can go and sign up and get all of that for nothing. And so we hope churches engage that. What's the outcome? Again, to be engaged in community. I think one of the biggest errors the church is making, if I could be that bold, Spencer, is we're not doing the orthopraxy of the church. We're good about the orthodoxy, speaking the word of truth, but we have to do the actions of truth. And that means engagement. Yeah, it's not comfortable. But you know what? Comfort is not what the promises are in the Bible. It's representing the Lord, taking some on the chin, but moving spiritually to a place where we bring the kingdom of heaven to this earth. And we can do that each and every day in our interactions.
You've been listening to His People on Pilgrim Radio. Many thanks to our guest, Jim Daly, President and CEO of Focus on the Family. To view Truth Rising, go to truthrising.com. Coming up on tomorrow's program, it's Helen Taylor of Exodus Cry on their ministry and on their documentary on sex trafficking.
I really believe that God is calling people to respond to the issue of sex trafficking and engage with this as an expression of the reformation that He's currently bringing in this world. And I'm grateful every day that I get to be a part of it.
That's tomorrow at the same time right here on His People. Thanks for listening.